Welcome to the broadcast of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. Apostle Anthony J. Patterson is the Bishop and General Overseer. This is the church that is called by the name of God, the church that walks in God's perfect law, and we follow the faith that was delivered to saints. Write to Bishop Patterson at Post Office Box 109, Darby, Pennsylvania, 19023 in the United States of America. Visit us online at theapostolicfaith.org or dial area code 610-583-2400. We invite you to contact us for information or questions you may have concerning salvation and the apostolic faith. Let us know how the broadcast reception is in your area. Email us at info@theapostolicfaith.org.
Calendar of events for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. Ordination commemoration of Apostle Patterson, December 28th through the 31st, 2017, at 1534 North Davis Street, Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. The Texas State Convention, February 22nd through the 26th, 2018, at 3700 Carl Street, Dallas, Texas, 75210. The 65th National Women's Conference, March 25th through April 1st, 2018, at 1534 North Davis Street, Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. The 64th National Men's Conference, May 24th through the 27th, 2018, at 1534 North Davis Street, Jacksonville, Florida, 32209. The 69th National Youth Conference, July 8th through the 15th, 2018, at 3700 Carl Street, Dallas, Texas, 75210. The 83rd National Convention, August 23rd through September 3rd, 2018. The location will be announced. The schedule is subject to change as led by the Spirit and the direction of Apostle Patterson.
We thank God Almighty for this opportunity to be with you today, to have our spirit mingled with your mind concerning the Word of God, and to have you consider, have I done what is necessary to save myself from this wicked generation? Because every generation is getting worse and worse. So I'm glad to be here to mingle also the mind of God with your heart and mind, to see if you will then consider the mind of Christ and then let your heart and mind agree with what the mind of God is, and what his mind is what is written in the Word. This is Bishop Patterson from the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. This is the faith of the apostles and what they preached and practiced. We still do today hold on to all of those things which were written aforetime, and we're learning continually all of those things that the Lord has opened to us. We're thankful for. It is amazing that it doesn't take people long to go into false doctrine or to leave the truth, or it doesn't take the human beings long to want to go back to what they once had after they get truth. It doesn't take them long to want to go back. And as you know, we use the record that we have of God to consider the matter. When they left Egypt, it did not take them long. It was less than 30 or 40 days they had gone back into idolatry. When Moses was contending with God about good things, the people of God had gone backwards and built an idol and began to tell lies that it was that idol that brought them out with a mighty hand. And it's no different today than folks will build their own and give it the credit for the work of God. The work of God is always good, and it doesn't take fools long to go into false doctrine and build themselves up and give the works of their hand and say it is of God. But it takes a person that is full of the Spirit. It takes a person that wants to be saved to know the difference between the works of Satan and the works of God. Satan can transform himself, but them that are of God know the difference. Because what you will do is you will agree with what the scripture says. So when the workers of Satan and the synagogue of Satan is set up, but them that are in the synagogue of Satan cannot be in the church. And it is when these so-called ministers go out and say that what they're doing is of God, it takes the people of God to realize it is not of God. And the only way you will know is if you obey the word of God. If it's written, believe it. So it doesn't matter when men wake up from dreams or wake up with some supposedly revelation that's come from God to them and they are the only ones that have it. That is your cue to cut him off because he's a liar from the pit of hell. If he cannot go to the scriptures and support what the Spirit give him, then I would be leery of what he got. It is so amazing that when men say to you, oh, I got this revelation from God, and he only gave it to me. The reason he got something from God that nobody else has is he's got a lie somewhere he's trying to cover and he's trying to fix. So God is only going to give him something. When the scripture is going to be ready for that lie, it's like a man say, well, Apollos was a bishop and God only gave that revelation to me because he was a minister, he was a bishop. Then the scripture told you, do not speak of, and he spoke of Apollos. He did not speak of him no higher than what is written. And it is written nowhere in the word that Apollos was a bishop. So when he comes with some revelation from God, be on the lookout that he's trying to cover a lie. No matter what else he says or does, be on the lookout. The word of God is going to catch you. The word of the Lord is going to either deliver you from sin or is going to let you know you are in sin. And if it lets you know that you are in sin, then let it deliver you. But it doesn't take folk long to go outside of the plan of salvation and then make a mess of things. But what you need the word of God for is to be there, to notice it, and then get out. If he got something big like that in his gospel, he can't save you. And it's amazing to me that they call themselves of God and can come up with such great lies. But there is always the hierarchy of the church that can fix the things. When you look around the world and you look at these folk who come up with these damnable heresies, it didn't take them long to come up with something to help their lies. But I'm here to tell them it is not of God. And they can say things about me all they want. But when you go against the Spirit of God, then you got a problem. And I'm here to let you know you got a problem. When you throw the apostleship out of the church, you got an issue. Because it is that position that gets together with the elders of the church to fix issues that has arisen during the course of the life of the church. God put them in the church to perfect his saints. And when you say, we don't have any more, then you and God disagree. You and the apostles disagree. How do you get pastors and teachers and evangelists in the church if the apostleship or that position don't put them in? All the work that Timothy and the rest of them did, they did it because Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, commanded them to do it. Now, you say you are a bishop or you have the office of the bishop and therefore you're an elder, but you have no ordination from the church. When the scripture says that you're taken from among men of things pertaining to God, you're ordained by men for things that pertain to God. So how is that scripture going to help your situation when you're throwing out of the church the position that put you in place? All the pastors that come up and say that they are of God, but God didn't have anything to do with putting them in place. It is this position of the apostleship that whenever the church had an issue, that position fixed it. As you see in the 15th chapter of Acts, when certain men came from Judah, was telling the brothers, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you couldn't be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas heard this speech, and Paul being an apostle himself, said, we're going to take this to Jerusalem. We're going to take this back to Peter and see that such commandment come from him. Now, let's judge how the church works as the scripture says it works. You got a problem now that some false doctrine has entered into the hearing of saints, and the man of God heard it. The pastors can't fix it. The evangelists can't fix it. The teachers can't fix it. So if that's all you have, they can't fix this issue. They can't fix it. Because here you have a man of God that was ordained by God and was manifested that he was of God. They took it to the apostles of Jesus Christ to fix it, to make sure that the people of God all abide by the same rule. No matter whether they were Jew or Gentile, it didn't matter. So when you look at how the church works, when a ma and pa set up a house of worship and they are not accountable to the apostles of Jesus Christ, it's not set up according to the scripture. And every corner in every city have all of these houses of worship supposedly set up. And you have these people that said, I got a revelation from God. And someone asked, well, what are you saying? Well, I'm just a teacher. The man of God that God sent set them up. Before Stephen and the rest of those fellows went out to do any work, and before Apollos and them went out to do the work, it is my understanding that they got their direction from the church. And when they did all they were going to do, the scripture says the Holy Ghost did not fall until the apostles got there and sanctioned what they were doing. Now, let's be real. Let's abide in what the scripture says today. Let's look at what the word of the Lord say. If there's an issue that arises, if there is false doctrine brought to the church, how does the church deal with it? And in the 15th chapter of Acts, it gives you a very clear record of how to fix it. So let's say you got a man that said, oh, I got a revelation from God and he gave me Chronicles and he gave me this and he gave me that, and I heard this, and then he lies on God. Who fixes that? He can't fix it. He's the liar. He can't correct it. He bought the lie in. Someone has to restore the person that bought the lie in. He can't restore himself. So you say, well, Apollos was this and I did this, and you got so much I. And you never hear what God did. God is the one that does the work. And when a man fix his issues around what he did and how much money he got and how much people he fed and how much of this he did and how much I did and I. We give God the glory for everything. It's not us that does it, it's God. And this is when the scripture says that a person is not skillful in using the word of God, because he's on milk and because they're separating people by what a man did. If you're saying what Peter did or Paul did or Bishop Johnson or whatever it is, Give God the credit for the thing. He said then, you are gendering strife. And yet they want to debate. Debate this. Who is going to fix the lie? The 15th chapter of Acts gives us a very good indication of how it can be repaired when false doctrine gets into the hearing of saints. Now let's see how it was repaired. Because the liar that brought it in thinks he's right. So he tells the hearing of saints, God gave me something. That devil is a liar from the pit of hell. God does not do anything outside of what is written. And if he said, do not speak of or come up with anything no higher than a man than what is written, then I'll take the word. It wasn't written that Apollos was a bishop. It wasn't written. If it wasn't written, the scriptures said they don't speak of it no higher than what it is. But how do you fix the issue? How do you fix when men will have of their own heart and they will draw disciples unto themselves? They will draw them away from God and unto themselves. How do you fix the issue when it's them and they are not accountable to anybody? When the brethren came and brought that lie to the people that except you are circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Circumcision started at Abraham. That's the first issue. But here the brethren wanted to continue after the law of Moses. And they were coloring the circumcision under the law of Moses. When the father of faith, Abraham, was the one God gave this covenant to. And he wanted now the circumcision of the heart. After Christ has now come. So when the issue presented itself to the hearing of the saints, Paul, who being an apostle of Jesus Christ, and Barnabas, they had no small dissension and disputation with them. So when he couldn't turn the fellows, they then decided, let's take this to Jerusalem until the apostles and elders about the question. Who did the scripture say they took it to? He didn't take it to the pastors and the teachers and the evangelists. Those are the ones you all want to keep in the church, but you want to throw out the apostle of Jesus Christ that is the one that put the rest of them in. You say, well, Bishop Johnson is the apostle. Bishop Johnson can't fix this issue. How can he fix the issue and he's laying in the grave? But I'm here. And I'm going to fix it and I'm going to condemn it until Jesus comes. Because this is the hierarchy of the church. The matter comes to the apostles and the elders to fix. So if all you have is a pastor and really all you have is a bishop, you still got a problem. You can call yourself whatever it is. You still got a problem because it's just you. There has to be in the church the apostles and elders in case there is something that comes. God has them in the church to perfect the saints. You cannot come into the unity of the faith with just a pastor or just a teacher or just an evangelist. And you have men saying, well, God made me evangelist. He did. How did he do it without the laying on of hands of the presbytery?
How did he do it? How did he get you to the position for the saints to know if it was not by the laying on of the hands of the presbytery? How did you get it? The scripture tells you in the 5th chapter of Hebrews, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. How do you get them from among men if not taken by the hands of the presbytery so that the saints will know who to follow? You can't get this in your garage. You can't come up with some dream from your bed and then bring it to the people and say, well, I'm this and I'm that. God did it. How did he do it? It's like the brethren that say, well, we are elders because somebody meant to make us one. So we're going to say we won because it was meant to make us one. This foolishness has to stop. How does it get repaired? It comes before the apostles and the elders to consider the matter. And when the matter is considered, they will then tell the church what is the resolve for the issue. It is amazing that for almost 20 years, the word of the Lord has been going by my mouth over the radio, and people will hear and say, you know, that man tells the truth. I hear it all of the time from folk. They say, we listen to your broadcast. And at every decision, I think about coming off of these radio stations and saying, let's just preach the word of God from city to city and find a way to reach the people. Every decision I say, well, I'm going to just stop this. Somebody will call and say, please don't do that, just out of the blue. But I realize it's not out of the blue. When I was here last, I was considering it because I kept asking, are you listening? Because the obedience should be that the place should be flooding out with souls instead of them trickling in one by one. But it's gleaning now, I understand. And a brother came to him and said, oh, Bishop Patterson, please. My mother in Georgia, my family everywhere is listening to your broadcast to try to save themselves. And I'm saying to myself, if they're listening, you have to be a doer of the word. Where are the doers? Everybody can hear me today and say, this man is bringing scripture. For there cannot just be a building set up and say we are independent of the apostles and the elders of the church. No man can build a building, a huge building, and he's only accountable to himself and not the apostles and elders of the church. But you see it. It's all on every television station. It's called itself Christian radio, Christian television. People set up their humongous churches by themselves. They're accountable to nobody. And there are no apostles and elders when there is an issue to correct it so that the people of God can be perfected. But here you see in the 15th chapter of Acts that when they got there to the church, the church received them. When the church received Paul and Barnabas and the ones that were with them, they began to testify to them of the work that they were doing among the Gentiles. And as always, the issue is going to come up while the people of God are being edified by testimonies, there's always a sect of brethren that are just contrary to everything that's going to sit among God's people and cause an issue. And this sect of the Pharisees, which believed as these brethren that brought the issue to where Paul and Barnabas were, they said the apostles and the elders came together for to consider the matter. Now, who came together to fix this issue? The scripture says the apostles and elders. If you do not have this government in your so-called religious community, something is wrong. I don't care what dream somebody had. I don't care what they say. They have been set up by the synagogue of Satan, and we know where they are. Why do we know them? We know them by their work. And my job is to point it out to you. So if you are sitting in the synagogue of Satan, you will get out before it's everlasting too late. I'm not here to gather up false prophets and false teachers and false evangelists and false apostles. I'm not here to gather them. I'm out to gather God's people that these men have. That you will come to the knowledge of the truth and come and save yourself. I'm coming for the people of God. I'm gathering the sheep of God. And if you're not aware, this government, if there is an issue that arises that the church can fix it, the apostles and the elders will get together to consider the matter. And when false doctrine gets in, someone has to go to the word of God and correct it. It cannot be done by the one that bought in the issue, because he's now infected somebody's hearing and someone's heart with his lie. So when the apostles and the elders came together for to consider the matter, there was much disputing. But the one that God gave the keys, Peter, stood up. And when you hear and understand that the keys that Peter was given, that if he opens it, nobody can shut it. If he shuts it, nobody can open it. This is the concept that you understand when the scripture says, to you I will give the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you loose, heaven is going to loose it. Whatever you bind, heaven is going to bind it. Now, Peter can't loose against the word, and Peter cannot bind against the word. And neither can you, and neither can I. So when God gave us the keys to the kingdom, he gave us the keys to the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ to open up the way of salvation for everyone. And I open up this way now to you. When it's open at our mouth, it's opened. When it's shut at our mouth, it is shut. I don't care what someone's dream was. Because there was a woman that had a dream in the church some years ago. And this woman's dream caused much havoc in the church. And it wasn't until what she dreamed got to the apostles and elder that it could have been corrected. But it had already infested the church because the people believed this woman's dream. She had a dream that the baptism had to be in the name of Jesus. It sounds strange to you. It was strange to us then also. But it wasn't until that matter got to the apostles and elders of the church that it was corrected. So if there is an issue, and you are looking at an issue that has to be corrected, the one that has the issue can't correct it. The church has to do it. So when this sect of Pharisees, the people that tried to keep us believing what was, we have the truth that there is one God now. Why would we go back to believing there's three gods in the Godhead? We believe there's one. But there is a sect of Pharisees, a sect of ones that want to keep us in the past and make us believe the false doctrine that we came out of, when the word of Christ is freeing us from this. The word of God is freedom. It is freedom from those wicked things that the enemy tried to bind you to, that the apostle and the elders of the church keep you free from. When you are certified against the redemptive day, you accept the blood of Christ. When someone can certify that your baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, if you can certify that by the gospel of Jesus Christ that you are hearing, that you are freed from all sin, if you can be certified by the gospel that you are hearing, that you have the truth of the gospel, then you are free. And when an issue arises in your life that has have you bound, there is the word of God by the man of God mouth that can loose you, because heaven is going to loose you. But if you don't have that authority in the church with the apostles and the elders, you have no authority in the church to loose and bind nothing. So if the people are bound with a lie, God has already loosed and bound that if you believe a lie, you shall be damned. Now, how do you get free from a lie? The lie is not going to free you. The church has to do it. The apostles and elders will come together to consider the matter. So after all of the disputing, Peter let it go on. And then he rose up and said, men and brethren, you know that how he began to testify that the Lord had done a work by his hands with the Gentile family. He said, we are witnesses that they have received the Holy Ghost. Now, these brethren are trying to bring in this damnable heresy to bind the Gentile family to what the Jewish family had, that God had already freed them from at his redemptive day on the cross. But some brothers want to keep them in what once was. But we are still free. And when Peter began to rehearse to them, the brothers then took heed to the apostles' mouth. So he said, they have received now the Holy Ghost as well as we. And we were witnesses to it. And he has put no difference in them, because he has purified their hearts by faith. He has circumcised their hearts. He has removed those stony hearts and gave them a fleshly heart. And I'm coming asking you, why then will you go and believe this lie and not check it with the church? If you don't have the hierarchy of the church, you can't check it. You won't know to check it. That's why this broadcast is coming to you to say, do you have the apostles and elders in your congregation? If you don't, it's not set up like God set up the church. And I don't care how big the congregation is. I don't care how small it is. It is necessary for the apostles and elders to be in the congregation, not have to be where you are, in what city you are. But you're going to have them in the church to where you can get to them so they can correct. We heard the brother preach that it was all right for women to teach in the church. When you bring that issue to us, we're going to correct that and say, the scripture says, I suffer not. So no matter what anybody else says, and they come up with these things out of their minds, oh, the Church of Corinthians had this major problem and they were correcting that. Well, if they corrected it for the Church at Corinthians, then it need to be corrected for the church where you are now. Because the same correction that they gave for them needs to be given for you, because you've done the same thing that they did. So how do you want to say that the man of God, Paul, was correcting something to stop the women from what they were doing, and today it's all right for them to do? If they're doing the same thing, why doesn't the same word correct it? How is it that you can say it's all right now when they corrected the issue then? If he said, I suffer not, then I'm going to bring you back to I suffer not. But if you just have, you say, all we got is a pastor in our church. It's not the church. You have to have the hierarchy of the apostles and the elders in the church to correct the issues. So if you got a man that just said, well, Bishop Johnson ordained me, and he went out of the church to get some false folks who had left the church who say they were in the church, but the scripture says they went out because they were not ever, ever of us. And he go out to them for them crooked folks to lay hands on him and for him to come back to the church and want the church to accept what some crooked folks did. And isn't it amazing that the crooked folks that he went to, he don't even believe them. Once he got what he needed from the crooked folks, he now condemned them. Why weren't they condemned when you went out to get what you needed from them? And to bring that condemnation, to lead somebody down some falsehood, talking about the scriptures told us to believe what we and continue now in the things that we have learned and we have been assured. We're going to continue. You can't continue in that lie how you got started. That was a lie. How are you going to continue in something and you went out? You didn't continue in anything. You started something that was never in the mind of God. But it has to be corrected by the apostles and the elders of the church. And when you have someone who knows the way and they get blinded by foolishness, how are they continuing in what they were taught? How are they continuing in it? The church still has in it the elders and the apostles to correct everything that rises up that is wrong in the church. You know, but what the devil will do? He'll make you look at everybody else's issue but your own. And they always, the enemy always can go to a part of the word that seemed to make somebody else wrong when the rest of the scriptures is condemning the person that's trying to kill somebody else. The person got a mote in their eye, but you who's trying to correct them got a beam. If you're going to continue in the things you were taught, the thing is, say, judge yourself. But if the apostles and elders are not there to tell you that, you're going into false doctrine, which is what you've done. But I'm still here to correct it. When Peter began to tell the brethren, They are now at Jerusalem. You have to understand, this is the seat of government where God said it will begin and start at Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost fell at Jerusalem. And when Peter, by the Holy Ghost, went to Cornelius' house and gave this gospel to the Gentile family, and Cornelius' house was filled and all his friends, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter is now telling his brethren, he's rehearsing to them what God had done and how the God of heaven had purified their heart. Now, Peter is correcting what this brother went down there and said, if you don't get circumcised like Moses told us, you can't be saved. And Peter now asked them, why would you tempt God? Why would you tempt God with this foolishness that God gave you some revelation that is not written and he only gave it to you? Why would you tempt God with that? I consider it to be blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. A man that will lie on God like that, how can he be saved? His mind is blind. There is nothing in the record that I can go to that all of those folks that went out, there's no record that they came back. So I'm not trying to gather false prophets. Why would I gather false prophets? Why would I bring in a false prophet and say, oh, prophesy to the saints? But we're gathering the sheep. If you are sheep, you will know this voice and you will follow after the voice. You will know the spirit and you will follow after the spirit. It doesn't take folks long to go into false doctrine. But look what people do. They get a leader just like the children of Israel did when Moses was gone. Aaron and the rest of them got together. Did they make it to the promised land? That should be your cue. Did they make it? The scripture tells me they died in unbelief. How can an unbeliever that's dead get belief all of a sudden in the grave? If you're holy, you're going to be holy still. If you're righteous, you're going to be righteous still. But after Peter asking you, why would you tempt God? As Ananias and Sapphira, why would you lie to the Holy Ghost? They dropped dead. But for 50 years or 40 years or 30 years or however many years it's been since the 60s that you say God did something for you. And there is no increase at all. But your children, where is the labor? Where's the labor? Where's the increase to the labor? But yet you're screaming and hollering at something that God, this is the remnant that I have that God is saving. I have the remnant. But I still have within the congregation of the holy, I still have the apostles and elders to correct every matter. That's why I'm able to correct what Omega did, because the apostles and the elders got together to consider the false doctrine he brought in. When Kenneth brought in false doctrine, it went to the head of the church to say, correct it. We did. But he decided to throw everybody out of the temples. Well, it had to be manifest because God said that they were going to do that. It did not mean that they're still the church. When God corrected the issue, he saved a remnant. And this remnant has held on all these years. But if you go against the hierarchy of the church, where is in the record that you're going to ever come back? Today is the day that the sheep, if you are of God, today is your day to make a move, to get back to the church. Because if someone has bought in a lie, they cannot correct their own lies. The Spirit has to do it. But the thing is, the people know that there's a problem. And if you're under a preacher don't have his right mind, how can God use a mind that is, it is not stable in the Spirit? He's liable to say anything and not even remember it. The man of God can lose their eyesight. They can lose everything, but they cannot lose their mind. Because Christ said, I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. So if something arises in these ma and pop setups, that everybody can set up a church like they're setting up a business, that was never in the mind of God. He said, I put the apostles, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists in the church to perfect my saints, to come into the unity of the faith. So if someone goes out and set up something on their own, that is not within the plan of salvation for God. That is the devil's work. And he's setting them up like he's setting up candy stores. And someone is always going in to buy their chocolates. But when the issue arises, it's a lonely voice like this in the wilderness. Our voices have always been crying out in the wilderness, showing you the way of God. It's always a dry land. It's always in the wilderness that our voices are going out, trying to get you to come. Amos and others, Habakkuk, everybody talked about this. The prophet spoke and said that there would be a famine. Not for bread and for water, but it would be for the hearing of the word of God. That there would be dry, no water, no bread. But it's this famine that we try to tell everybody, come, there's corn here. There's corn here. But will they come? Doesn't look like it. But should the church continue? Sure it will. The scripture in Amos 8:11. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. It's a famine now. And in the course of the famine, people are setting up these stores all over the place on every corner, three and four on the same with a different flavor. They'll put up a building and it's named something different than what it started out with. It was the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church always had the banner named for God. But now there's a smorgasbord of all these candy stores with different flavors. So if you don't like this flavor, well, make this your church home. You can come over here. You can go over there. You can do this. You can do that. This is division. This is causing an issue. But it's not with the church. The church is the body of Christ. And if these setups don't have the apostles and elders in the church to fix it, then it's not the church. So no matter what these brethren come up and do, that they have something in their mind. Oh, I'm going to hold to what Bishop Johnson preached. Well, if you're going to hold to what he preached, how are you going to get it? You're going to go out to somebody and say, well, can you all ordain me an elder? Because where I am, there ain't no elders in the church and ain't nobody there to ordain me. And because they don't believe and nothing else. So can you all ordain me? And I'm going to go back and I'm going to, they're going to have to accept my eldership. They are. Why'd you have to go out? The scripture says, woe to them that go to Egypt. Why you go to the world for help? God has everything he needs in his church. Why don't you get it from the church? This proves you false. So why labor? Why labor with you? And then you have someone who is knowledgeable in the word. You got somebody that is knowledgeable about what Bishop Johnson did, and they hold you up in your wrong. But the apostles and elders are still here to correct the matter. And when people are in the congregation of the holy and leave a speech that says, he's going to get me into Canaan, I believe if I'm not with him, that I'm going to a Christless grave, those words are still in the church. The testimony can't go anywhere. If you said it, God is going to judge you by it. If you believed that my basket was the basket that God is going to save and you had to be in it, you have to be in the house to be saved. You can't be outside of the house, but your speech is what God's going to judge you by. Everything that you said. So when you said all of this that you believed at the time, where now is the lie? What did Bishop Johnson say about that? What did the scripture say about that? But the apostles and the elders are still in the church to correct it. I don't care where you go. And if they don't have the apostles and the elders, because that's what you believe, you say there must be an apostle in the church because that's what Bishop Johnson preached. It had to be. That's what the scripture is bearing out. But you leave and go somewhere where there is none. Bishop Johnson was in the church, but he asked the church, can the dead apostles now do anything? He asked the church that when he was alive. He said, I have it as long as I live. He doesn't live now in the mortal state. He's gone on to the rest. But the church still has the position. The office is still here to correct issues. And everyone that calls themselves apostolic or apostolic, we still have the apostles and elders in the church. But when you look, there have been so many divides that a brother just leave and say, the Lord called me to preach. And he said, what did the Lord? He said, he called me as a pastor. The Lord don't call you to do that. The apostles put you in place. The apostle said, I want you to go pastor and look after this work. I want you to go and evangelize. The apostles lay hands on you in front of the congregation and say, this will now be minister so-and-so, elder so-and-so, brother is now minister so or elder or evangelist or teacher. The apostles do that work. That's how the saints get perfected. You don't raise up, you baptize yourself in something. You don't ordain yourself in something. You're taken from among men by men for God. The foolishness has to come to a close somewhere. But you know what? Why the foolishness continue? Because somebody follows them. And you're the ones who I'm talking to let the word of God condemn you today. You're the one that keep it going. If a false prophet stood up and preached to himself, it wouldn't matter to me. But it's them that withstand God and help false doctrine and help false people against God. That's why you get the reward of the false prophet. Why would you lift your hands to help someone that does not work after the work of God? Why would you help someone that will not do the will of God? The scripture says you need the apostles and the elders in the church to perfect the saints and to correct issues like they did in the 15th chapter of Acts. And when you get to Ephesians and he said to you, and he gave some apostles and some pastors and some evangelists and some prophets and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the work of the ministry. The ministry can't be worked by somebody coming up with something on their own. They don't help the church. They're hindering the church. Why? They pulled off disciples to themselves. So when a man come up against what Bishop Johnson did, Bishop Johnson is the one that left Bishop Shelton in place. Now, you're going to contradict that? But the apostles and the elders are still here to correct the matter. We are here to bring people into the unity. But my thing is, why would the people? That is why for almost 21 years of my ministry, I have been in a legal battle. But the church has been perfected. But it's because of people. I'm in the same position as Christ was, that he bringing in truth, and there were a sect of folk that were against him his entire ministry. There were people against Christ in his entire ministry until they destroyed him. I don't think I'm different from him. Someone is going to fight me all of my ministry. But will the ministry die? Absolutely not. Just because you rose up and said Bishop Shelton was wrong. Bishop Shelton wasn't wrong. You're wrong. You fought him his entire ministry. It didn't make his ministry wrong. The position is still here to correct you. What he say, I say. The church is perfected. The church is going to be perfected. How is it going to be perfected? Is going to be perfected by the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the teachers, the evangelists. And when there is an issue that arises in the church or wherever it comes and try to infiltrate and get in the church, the position that God left in the church is going to correct it. Why will he correct it? So that the people of God will not have a lie in them. If the people believe a lie, the scripture says in Thessalonians, they shall be damned. And I don't want that for anybody. I want everyone saved. So why for 20 years have I been 15 to 20 years on this station trying to bring the word of God to you? Because I don't want you lost. But the person that brings in the damnable doctrine can't correct themselves. The scripture says when Christ came, he said, I didn't come to condemn. The word will condemn. Don't put it on me. Say the word did it. But I ask you, will you continue in what you're doing, knowing that there's an issue? I hope not. And there is a prescription that I give you now for your issue. I prescribe Christ. Go to the dispenser and get a couple of pills for Christ. Take that medicine and it'll be all right. And call me in the morning. Go and get the pill dispenser to say, will you fill this prescription for me? I need Christ. And then you talk to me. But I again thank you for the opportunity. And I ask you, will you continue now in your false ways now that the truth has come? And I bid you all peace.